Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
We'd like to welcome you all here this evening to a lecture by Sheikh Abdullah Faisal. Sheikh Faisal was born in Jamaica, and alhamdulillah, at the age of 16, he accepted Islam. He then went to South America to study Islamic studies for a year. Following that, he went to Riyadh to study at the Muhammad Ibn Saud University. He studied there for 8 years and graduated. He now lives in the UK. He's active in the field of Dawah, and he delivers lectures throughout the UK. I now call upon the Sheikh to address you.
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalam ala ashraf al-anbiya wal-mursaleen. Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Allahumma arna al-haqqa haqqan wa rizna tiba'ah wa arna al-batila batilan wa rizna ishnaba.
Amen.
Believing brothers in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. On behalf of Al-Ansar Foundation and the Managing Committee of Masjid al-Nur, I would like to take this opportunity of thanking you for inviting me here today to speak to you on the important topic, Satan's web. This is my very first trip to South Africa, and this is my first trip to Durban, and my first sitting with you. I pray Allah Ta'ala that this will not be our first and last gathering here, but we'll have many more ones like this to come. The topic Satan's web was chosen because Allah said in Surah Yasin that he, the shaitan, is your open enemy, adu mubin. So the shaitan is at war with us. Since he's our open enemy, it becomes incumbent on us to learn his strategies, which he uses to lead us astray. It is not a problem to overestimate your enemies, but it's a disaster to underestimate your enemy. And the first step in regards to your enemy is to recognize who your enemy is. The second step, to recognize the strategies of that enemy. The third step, to recognize who are the friends, helpers, and supporters of that enemy. Because the friend of your enemy is your enemy, and the enemy of your enemy is your friend. Therefore, we are gathered here today to expose the shaitan and his helpers, his henchmen. So we are exposing the shaitan and his henchmen. So who are the henchmen of the shaitan? The henchmen and supporters of the shaitan are people who have concocted their own ism and schisms, their own way of life, to compete with Allah's deen, which is Al-Islam. Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Yasin, he is adu mubin, the clear enemy. And Allah Ta'ala also said in Surah Baqarah 217, وَلَا يَزَالُونَ يُقَوَاتُلُنَكُمْ حَتَّى يَرُدُّوكُمْ عَنْ دِينِكُمْ إِنِ اسْتَطَاعُوا. They will forever fight you for the sake of your deen, until they make you leave off your deen, in istata'u, if they have the ability to do so. Therefore, there are 10 different ways in which the shaitan and his helpers and supporters are fighting you, the Muslim, today. The first is called germ warfare, in which they seek to exterminate you with germ warfare. So you may take your Muslim wife to the hospital and they inject her with the AIDS virus, or your Muslim child. Germ warfare is a type of warfare which is alive and deadly in the world today. Secondly, propaganda warfare. So they call you a fanatic, a terrorist, an extremist, with BBC, Sky News, CNN, and so on and so forth. This is propaganda warfare. Number three, economic warfare, in which they unleash against you sanctions and embargoes. And 2 million Iraqi children have already been killed at the hands of the UK and the USA as a result of economic warfare. And the Holy Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he suffered economical warfare. For 3 years they starved him in Holy Mecca. He had to tie stones on his belly to quell the pangs of hunger. He had to boil the leather from his shoes and eat it to survive. The Muslims had to eat the leaves of the trees to survive. Number 4, drugs warfare. So don't be surprised if they pump drugs in Muslim neighborhoods, the way they are seeking to pump drugs in Cape Town and many other townships where there are Muslims, a lot of Muslims living. So drugs warfare, to put the Muslims on crack cocaine, opium, heroin, cannabis, and so on and so forth, is a warfare which is alive and deadly today. Cultural warfare, to take away from you your Islamic identity, your culture, and to replace it with the evil European culture. Military warfare. So NATO is the military wing of the Dajjal, the Shaitan. So the Shaitan has his mouthpiece, and the mouthpiece of the Shaitan, the Dajjal, is the CNN. He has his economic wing. The economic wing of the Shaitan is IMF. And he has his military wing, and the military wing of the Dajjal is NATO. Another warfare, psychological warfare, to make you suffer from inferiority complex. Another warfare, political warfare. So the UN is the political wing of the Dajjal, and he uses the UN to pass resolutions against you. All the resolutions of the UN is for the benefit of America and her allies, not for the benefit of Islam and Muslims. So you know something which is called Mashura, and you have Shura meetings. The Shaitan has his Shura as well. The Shura of the Shaitan is the UN. Chemical warfare, to wipe you out with chemical weapons. And the last of these warfares, the tenth and last, ideological warfare, to kill you ideologically. So they are convinced they will never be able to beat the Muslims on the battlefield. Russia was dismantled by the Muslims of Afghanistan. Russia went into Chechnya in 1996 and she was massacred and kicked out in disgrace. She suffered a humiliating defeat. And she is now back in Chechnya and they are being massacred by the thousands. The Kafirs are convinced they will never be able to defeat you militarily. So they say, let us kill the Muslims on our way. And that is ideological warfare. To spread wrong beliefs among the Muslims and to pump wrong books in the Muslim community, books with the wrong beliefs. So you think you understand Islam, but you don't really understand Islam, because ideological warfare might have been waged against you. These are the 10 strategies of the Shaitan in waging 10 different types of warfare against you. The Shaitan has concocted his own religion. The religion of the Shaitan is called relativism. Relativism is to say the truth is relative. So the Christians have the truth, the Hindus have the truth, the Jews have the truth, and you, the Muslim, you also have the truth. But all these religions, they are expressing the truth in their own words. They are using their own avenues to reach Allah. So the truth is relative, and morality is relative. So a Muslim woman may find it necessary to cover her hair and her bosom when she goes out in public, because she doesn't want other men to see her hair. So she covers when she goes out in public. And another woman who is a Christian may go topless on the beaches of Barbados and the Bahamas and Tenerife. And this woman who is sunbathing on the beaches topless and who is a Christian, and this other woman who covers herself in public, who is a Muslim, they are both practicing morality. Morality is relative. This is what the Shaitan wants people to believe, that the truth is relative and morality is relative. So, if morality was relative, as the Kafirs want us to believe, why is it that there was a woman here in South Africa who practiced incest with her brother, and they are thinking of prosecuting her, she and her brother. They are thinking of what? Prosecuting her. So there is no such thing as relativism. There is a set standard for the truth, and there is a set standard for morals, and there is a set standard for ethics. So do not listen to the whispers of the Shaitan. There is no such thing as relativism. Also, the shaitan wants you to entertain interfaith dialogues. To do what? For you to entertain interfaith dialogues. And to put Islam and Christianity and Judaism on the same even keel. Allah asks the people of interfaith a question in the Quran. أَفَنَجْعَلَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ Will you treat the Muslims like the kafirs, the criminals? What's the matter with your brain? How can you pass that judgment? How can you try to make Islam equal to Christianity? And Sheikh Hudhayfi, the Imam of Medina, he gave a khutbah about this problem of interfaith. And he was sacked from his job. He's no longer the Imam of Medina, the Prophet's mosque. And he's not allowed to give speeches nowhere else in Saudi Arabia. Sheikh Hudhayfi in his speech said, how can you try to make Islam equal to Christianity when the Christians say Jesus is God? When the Christians say Allah beget a son, they attribute unto Allah the act, a human act, an animal act. And what act is that? Allah beget a son. How can you make Islam equal to Judaism when the Jews said, Inna Allah faqir wa nahnu aghniya. Allah is poor, but we are rich. A Jew said that to Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr Siddiq hit him across the face. The Jew went to the Prophet, Oh Muhammad, Abu Bakr hit me. The Prophet said, what did you do? I didn't do nothing. He just came up to me and hit me just like that. The Rasul asked Abu Bakr Siddiq, why did you hit him? Abu Bakr said, this Jew claimed that Allah is poor, but they are rich. Because Allah said in the Quran, وَمَن يُقْرِضُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا. Who can give Allah a goodly loan? If Allah was not poor, why is he asking for loan? So when the Jew said that to Abu Bakr, he hit him across the face. And the Jew said, he's lying, I didn't say that. And then Allah revealed it in the Quran to prove that Abu Bakr Siddiq was speaking the truth and the Jew was lying. So Allah said what? لَقَدْ سَمِيَ اللَّهُ قُلْ لَذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَانَ Verily Allah heard the speech of the kafir who said, verily Allah is poor, but we are rich. So there is no such thing as interfaith dialogues searching for the common ground to make Islam equal to Hinduism, Christianity, Judaism, and all the other isms and schisms. How can you say we respect all the religions? How can you say that? I'm a Muslim and I respect all the religions. This should never come from your mouth. You are only supposed to respect the truth, which is Islam. We tolerate other religions. If they live in the Islamic State, they pay us jizya for the protection of their lives and properties. We tolerate other religions. But as for us Muslims respecting other religions, if you are a Muslim and you respect another religion, you're a kafir, you become a kafir. You're only allowed to respect Islam because Allah said, إِنَّ الدِّينَ إِنَّ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ The only religion acceptable in the sight of Allah is Al-Islam. Then Allah said, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ الْخَاسِرِينَ Any one of you who follow a religion other than Islam, it will never be accepted from him. And on judgment day, he shall be among the losers, the khasireen. So if Allah is telling you, إِنَّ الدِّينَ إِنَّ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ The only religion acceptable in the sight of Allah is Al-Islam, how can you say, I respect all the religions? And you are living in a country where people say, Allah beget a son. Allah beget a son. And you think this lie is something simple. Because if you are sitting in a, if you go to a room which is very stink smelling, when you enter the room, you will say, this smell is bad. But if you stay in that room for 5-6 hours, it doesn't smell bad anymore. You get accustomed to it. You understand? So when you live in a country where people are lying, telling lies, It doesn't look like evil anymore. What did Allah say about the people who say Allah begat a son? Allah said in Surah Maryam, Surah 19, وَقَالَ اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَنِ وَلَدَىٰ. And they, the kafirs, claim Allah begat a son. لَكَ جِئْتُمْ شَيْءٍ إِدَّىٰ. Indeed, they utter from their mouths a vicious lie. إِدَّىٰ. تَكَادِ السَّمَاوَاتِ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ. Almost the seven heavens explode. وَانْشَقَّ الْأَرْضِ. And almost the earth cleft asunder. وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالِ. And almost all the mountains reduced to powder and dust. Each time a kafir open his mouth and say, Allah beget a son. So how can you say, I respect that religion? A religion that says, Allah beget a son. You're only allowed to respect Al-Islam and nothing else. Allah Ta'ala said, Alam ahad ilaykum ya bini Adam an la ta'buru shaitan. Innahu lakum adu mubin. Didn't you give me your word, O children of Adam, that you will never worship the shaitan, because he is what? Your open enemy. Surah Yasin, verse 60. How do you worship the shaitan? You worship the shaitan when you do haram acts. You worship the shaitan when you do haram acts. Because he is your open enemy, he is constantly at war with us. He's always using us to kill each other. Apart from him establishing his religion of relativism, he has another religion called integrationism, in which he wants you to integrate into the society and to lose your Islamic values. So a girl may have the name Khadija, another one with the name Pauline, a Christian, another one with the name Ruth, a Jew, and all these three girls, they behave with the same behavior. You can't tell which one is a Muslim, which one is a Jew, and which one is a Christian, because they behave the same way. The only time you found out that she was a Muslim is because she said, my name is Khadija. She has lost all her Islamic values. And there are many people, when you examine their behavior, you cannot tell they are Muslims until you ask them, what's your name? They say, my name is Muhammad or Abdullah. Why? Because he has become totally integrated into the society. He is integrated into the society. So integrationism is a web of the shaitan which you need to avoid. Also, the shaitan was the first racist. So when Allah Ta'ala told him to bow down to Adam, he refused to bow down. And he started to argue with Allah. أَهَذَا الَّذِي كَرَّمْتَ عَلَيَّ. What did he say to Allah? أَهَذَا الَّذِي كَرَّمْتَ عَلَيَّ. Is this what you prefer over me? He's trying to veto the decision of Allah. Is this what you prefer over me? أَهَذَا الَّذِي كَرَّمْتَ عَلَيَّ. And he bluntly refused to bow down. And Allah asked him, why didn't you bow down to Adam? He told the reason why in Surah 7 verse 12. What did he say? أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ. أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ. خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ تِينٍ. I'm better than him. I'm better than him. You created me from fire. And as for him, Adam, you created him from clay. You made him from clay, but you made me from fire. So he was the first racist. And so he was thrown out of heaven. He was thrown out of heaven, not paradise, heaven. There's a big difference between paradise and heaven. He was thrown out of heaven. Now, another web of the shaitan, he makes you use your akl to veto the nakl. The Arabic word akl means your brain, your intellect. Nakl means the text, Quran and Sunnah. There are people who call themselves rationalists, the Mu'tazilites. Rationalists. They rationalize the deen. So, if they read Sahih Bukhari, where the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if the fly drops in your drink, dip it. One wing has the germ and the other wing has the cure. It's hadith in Bukhari. This person said, I will never do that. I dip a fly in my soup, you're crazy. I'm going to throw away everything. So, but the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. So, who cares if it's in Sahih Bukhari? It doesn't make sense to me. This person, he used his akl, his intellect, to veto the nakl, to veto the text. This is a web of the shaitan. So when he was told to bow down to Adam, according to him, your commandment to bow down to Adam doesn't make sense. You made me from fire, and Adam you made from clay. So I'm not going to bow down, and I will never bow down. This was his attitude to Allah. Not only did he have this attitude to Allah, but he threatened. I shall attack them. from in front and from behind, and from above, and from the right and from the left. He threatened that he would attack them. And he begged Allah respite. Rabbi fa'anzirni ila yawm yub'athoon. My Lord, grant me respite until judgment day when they will be resurrected. He begged Allah, give me long life and you'll see what I'll do to them, those that you prefer over me. Just give me long life and I'll show you what I will do to them. I will lead them all astray except who? Ibadaka al-mukhlaseen, except your servants who are sincere. I won't have any power over the sincere ones. But as for the others, I will lead them all astray. The shaitan, he said all these things to Allah Ta'ala. Then Allah Ta'ala said, Ya Adam, uskun anta wa zawjaka al-jannah. O Adam, dwell thou and thy wife in the garden. So Allah Ta'ala put Adam and his wife Hawa to live in the garden in heaven. There is something else you need to know about the shaitan. The shaitan is very, very courteous, polite. Is that clear? The shaitan, this is another web of the shaitan which you need to know. He's very courteous, very polite. So when Adam was in the garden, he and his wife, he was bent on finishing them, destroying them, kicking them out of the garden. So what did he say? Ya Adam. Listen to what he said. Listen to what he said to Adam. Ya Adam, hal adulluka ala shajratil khuld wa mulkin la yubla. O Adam, shall I not lead you to a tree? If you approach that tree and eat from it, you will live forever and ever, because he called the tree Shajaratul Khuld, the tree of eternal life. You will live forever and ever. You'll be like the angels. You won't die. And you will rule over a kingdom which will never perish. Mulkin la yubla. Adam was wavering because Allah told him, don't approach the tree. So when the shaitan saw that Adam was wavering, what did he say? Wallahi. I'm speaking the truth. Wallahi. So some people will say, billahi, wallahi, tallahi, and lie. So this is a web of the shaitan. He lies. He hides behind wallahi and lie. The shaitan, very courteous. The British, they went all over the world and colonized. How did they win the trust of the people? First, they come in a friendly manner. Then they stab you in the back. That's the British way. The UK, the United Killers. And as for the USA, they are the United Snakes of America. So, a web of the shaitan, this web is called to use courtesy to hide treachery. Is that clear? The shaitan used courtesy to hide his treachery. Have you had a Jehovah's Witness knock on your door? The Jehovah's Witness is inviting to the hellfire, because the Jehovah's Witness is a kafir, he's not a Muslim. He believes that there is no such thing as heaven and hell. Hell is when you go inside the grave. That's the only hell. When you are in the grave, and the Jehovah's Witness said, Allah beget a son who is Jesus. This is kufr, kufr, kufr. The Jehovah's Witness is inviting to the hellfire. But when the Jehovah's Witness knock on your door, the Jehovah's Witness preaching his falsehood or her falsehood, they're very, very polite, very courteous, very friendly. You, the Muslim, may become upset, but they will never become upset because they are properly trained. So this is another shaitan using courtesy to hide his treachery. So this person, the human shaitan, who is a henchman of the shaitan, he goes all over the world and colonizes, and he used the courtesy to win the people over, and then he stabbed them in the back. The shaitan is a kafir, and he will never ever take his shahada. He thinks he's smart. You know what he thinks? He said, how can Allah, listen to what the shaitan keeps saying, how can Allah punish me with fire and I was made from fire? Again, he's fallen into another problem. He's using his akal, the intellect. If I was made from fire, how can Allah punish me with the fire? But you were made from clay. And if I take dust and throw it in your eyes like this, you'll be hurt, isn't it? But you were made from clay. So Allah Ta'ala has the ability destroy the shaitan with the fire, even though he was made from fire. Another web of the shaitan, his attitude. He loves to take away from someone his or her innocence. So the human shaitan, he goes with US dollars in his pocket, the pound sterling, the French franc, the Dutch mark, and he goes to poor countries like the Philippines and Thailand, the Far East, and he used the money in his pocket to seduce children into child pornography. Having these children acting in child pornography, and he videoed these films and sell it all over the world. It's a multi-billion dollar business. So why child pornography has become rife? There is a proliferation of these things because the shaitan loves to take away from someone his or her innocence. So Adam was innocent, and he went and tempted Adam to eat from the haram tree and cause Adam and his wife Hawa both to slip, because he loves to take away from someone his or her innocence. We are not exposing Iblis alone. We are exposing Iblis and the human shaitan who has become his representative on earth. The human shaitan are people who control NATO, people who control CNN, people who control the UN, people who control IMF. So the IMF is the economic wing of the shaitan. The CNN is his mouthpiece. Have you seen what he did to Iraq when Iraq invaded Kuwait? And it was America who told Saddam to invade Kuwait. What did they do? They used the CNN and assassinate the character of Iraq totally. They took babies out of the incubators and dumped the babies and shipped the incubators back to Baghdad. It's a lie. No incubators were sent back to Baghdad. And when they used the CNN to assassinate their character, that they dumped the babies out of the incubators, all the people in the world said, I think Saddam should be taught a lesson. I think they should invade Iraq. I think Iraq should be bombed and so on and so forth. I think you should use military force against Iraq. So first, they used CNN to assassinate your character. Then they used the UN to pass resolutions against you, that we will use military might. And then they used NATO to drop the bombs on top of you. So the shaitan, all these organizations, and after that is done, when they drop the bombs on top of you, then they use the World Bank, the IMF, to bankrupt your economy. So all these organizations are interwoven. These are institutions of the shaitan, and they work hand in hand. CNN kills your character, propaganda warfare. UN wage against you what? Political warfare, sanctions, economical warfare. Then you have NATO who wage against you military warfare. All these are powerful institutions of the shaitan, which he unleash against you if you do not toe the line. So what you have in the world today is nothing but dictatorship. Say for example, South Africa doesn't agree to toe the line. Today $1 is 7 rand. If you refuse to toe the line, when you wake up, $1 is 50 rand or 100 rand. They can use the World Bank, the IMF, and bankrupt your economy overnight. So when John Major went to Malaysia, the Malaysian Prime Minister, Mohamed Mahathir, told him, we don't like what you are doing to our Muslim brothers and sisters in Bosnia. You, the British, you are helping the Serbs to kill the Muslims in Bosnia because you put on them an arms embargo. So the Muslims are not allowed to buy arms to defend their lives. And the Malaysian Prime Minister said, we shall break the embargo. We don't agree. We don't agree with what you're doing. We don't respect your resolutions. We shall break the embargo. As soon as John Major came back from Malaysia, he complained to the World Bank about Malaysia. And overnight, the Malaysian economy was bankrupt. Overnight, they bankrupt the Malaysian economy. So we are here to expose the shaitan, not just Iblis, but all these human shaitans that live in your midst. And Allah Ta'ala call human beings shaitan. Allah said, وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَىٰ شَيَاطِينِهِمْ قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْتَهْزِئُونَ. When they are with you, they say they believe. But when they are alone with their shayateen, they said, we don't really believe. We were only jesting. It was a sham. We were pretending. We didn't really believe. Another problem of the shaitan, he is unable to live in harmony with Allah's creation. He is unable to live in harmony with the creation of Allah. So he dumps toxic waste all over the place in the land and in the sea. The shaitan, because he's unable to live in harmony with the creation of Allah, wherever in the world he goes to, he commit the crime of genocide against the local population. So when he was in India, he committed genocide in India. The British killed millions of Indians because Mahatma Gandhi said non-violence, non-violence. And when Mahatma Gandhi said non-violence, oh, the British were happy. We can kill millions of Indians and they won't fight back. So he committed genocide in India. Genocide in Australia, in Tasmania, in New Zealand. Genocide in Africa. And today they are still committing genocide in the name of AIDS, germ warfare. Genocide in North America, Central America, and South America. Now after the shaitan committed genocide against all these people, he makes his evil deeds fair seeming. So he made a move, he makes movies about the cowboys and the Indians. The cowboys are the British who went to America to kill the Red Indians for their land. So he makes movies, the cowboys shooting the Red Indians, and the Red Indians have bow and arrow, inferior weapons. And he has the rest of the world, when you were children, watching cowboys and Indians. You used to cheer for the cowboy, isn't that so? So what the shaitan does, he committed the crime of genocide against the population, then he made movies about it, brag about it, and have his evil deeds fear seeming, and have the rest of the world cheering for him. So Allah Ta'ala said about the shaitan in Surah 6, verse 43, وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَشْشَيْطَانَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. The shaitan has the ability to make the most shameful deeds fair seeming. Even in this country and many other countries of the world, he convinced many people to think sodomy is okay. Have they made it legal here as yet? It's legal now. Right. Did anybody rebel against it? So he has the population in the UK. If you go on the radio station in the UK, you cannot say, well, I'm a Muslim and I believe in marriage. I don't agree with homosexuality. They close your radio station down. You're a Muslim. And you go for an interview on the radio station and you say, I'm a Muslim. I believe in marrying and having a family, a decent family, bringing up children. I don't agree with homosexuality because it stunts the growth, the human growth, because homosexuals cannot have children. It stunts the human growth, and it is against the law of Allah, because Allah created Adam and Eve. He did not create Adam and Steve. I spoke like this in the Philippines on a radio station, and it's the presenter of the radio was a Muslim, and I said, why? I'm a Muslim. I have to say what I believe in. So they'll close us down. They'll close us down. You cannot say anything bad about the homosexuals. So in Western societies, if you speak the truth and you propagate morality, morals and ethics and righteousness, and you speak out against homosexuals or the lesbian, they close down your radio station. They'll never give you a license again. So they have the people in the country thinking that homosexuality is natural because it's in their genes. And these Kafirs, they blame everything on the genes. So a man is a thief and a murderer, they said it's in his genes. They blame the genes for everything. They don't want to take responsibility for everything, for anything whatsoever. I have mentioned earlier that the shaitan, the human shaitan, is unable to live in harmony with his creation, with the creation of Allah Ta'ala. And because of this, Allah said in Surah Rum, verse 41, ذَهَرَ الْفَسَادِ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِي النَّاسِ لِيُذِيكَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجُعُونَ. Fasad, corruption has become widespread in the land and in the sea because of the evil handiworks of men. Allah said, we give them a taste, a chastisement by their own evil handiworks, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجُعُونَ, in order that they may return to the path of Allah. In the UK where I live, you have goats, you have cows, you have chicken. The cow was created by Allah to eat grass. So you have these farmers, when they take their cows to the auction to sell, they want the cow to weigh a lot of kilos, heavy, to make money. So they don't feed the cow on grass, they feed the cow on the meat of sheep and goats and chicken and so on and so forth. So the cow was created by Allah to eat grass, and they fed the cow meat, and what was the result? Mad cow disease. So now you understand what Allah Ta'ala meant in Surah 30, Surah Rum, verse 41. Fasad, corruption has become widespread in the land and in the sea because of the evil handiworks of men. Allah said, we give them a taste of their own evil handiworks in order that they may return to the path of Allah Ta'ala. As I said before, the shaitan makes you use your akal to veto the nakal, the text, your intellect to veto the text. But Ali Ibn Abi Talib said, "Laysa ad-din bir-ra'y." This deen is not by logic. Ali said, if that was the case, when we make mess on the socks, we would wipe underneath the socks. Because that's where it hits the ground when you walk. The bottom of the socks. He said, but I, Ali Ibn Abi Talib, I saw the Messenger of Allah wiping on top of his socks. Not underneath, on top. So this deen is not by logic. Abu Hanifa said, this deen is not by logic. Abu Hanifa said to Muhammad al-Baqir, a Shiite Imam, Muhammad al-Baqir, this deen is not by logic. Because the girl child is weaker than the boy child, isn't that so? But when the father passed away, the boy child get twice the portion of the girl. And when Abu Hanifa said that, Muhammad al-Baqir got up and kissed him on his forehead and said, indeed he's a faqih. And he walked away. Indeed he's a faqih. And he walked away. And Abu Hanifa said many other things to Muhammad al-Baqir. Time doesn't permit me to say all of them. Another web of the shaitan, and this is a very vicious web. If you don't memorize these webs, you may get caught up. Another web of the shaitan. The shaitan has the ability to use something which is halal to lead you on step by step until you do something which is haram. It is called sequential persuasion. Sequential persuasion, subliminal seduction. Subliminal seduction, sequential persuasion. So, there are many Hindus and Sikh girls who become Muslims every day in England. Sikh girls, Hindu girls. So a Muslim boy may be given dawah at university to a Hindu girl, and she says, take my phone number and my address, come to my house and talk about it, my flat. Come and talk about Islam, it's more quiet there, it's too busy at university. And the shaitan whispers to him, why don't you go to her flat and give her dawah? And these girls, when they leave home, they live by themselves, because they get money from the university to rent their own flat. in England. Why don't you go to her house and give her a dawah, tell her about Islam. If she becomes a Muslim, when she prays, you get the thawab, the barakah. When she makes hajj, you get all the barakah. Just go to her house and give her a dawah. So he takes her phone number and her address, and he goes to her house to give her a dawah, and when he got there, he get dawah. So the shaitan has the dawah to give dawah. It's halal, isn't it? It's halal to give dawah. You're inviting somebody to Islam. You're saving a Hindu girl from the hellfire. But the shaitan is so intelligent, he has the ability to use a halal act to lead you on little by little, step by step, until you do something which is haram. Have you heard about Ali ibn Abi Talib? The cousin of the Prophet. He was the fourth caliph. He told us a story. This story is in Tafsir ibn Kathir. There was a monk before the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, and the monk was very pious, a rahib monk, and he separated himself from the city and lived in a cave, and the cave had different compartments to it, different rooms. Three brothers had a very, very beautiful sister. That sister was very, very beautiful. She was so beautiful, the three brothers said, we cannot let her live in the city because everybody is doing haram. Our sister may go astray. So one of them said, take her to the monk. He'll look after her. That righteous man who lives in the cave. So they took the girl to the monk. The monk said, you bring a girl to me. Take her away. Take her away. I don't want her here. And the shaitan came to him and said, whispers to him, you waswisu fi sudurin nas min al jinnati wan nas. The shaitan makes waswasa. Why don't you look after the girl? If you ignore her and let her go back and live in the city, she may become corrupted. You are the best person to look after her because you have a lot of knowledge. So the monk said, okay, bring her back, bring her back. And they brought her back. And they had her in a separate room. And the shaitan came to the monk and said, give her food to eat. He put food outside her door. The shaitan came and said, why don't you knock the door to make sure that she takes the food in? Then the shaitan said, why don't you have so much knowledge? Why don't you give her a dars? Lessons. And the monk was giving her dars, teaching the girl lessons. And the girl became knowledgeable from behind a door. And then the shaitan came back to him and said, you are lecturing the girl from behind the door. Maybe she's not learning properly. Take away the door. Because when you have eye to eye contact, the person will digest the message even more. So the monk took away the door from between him and the girl. And what happened? They fell in love with each other. And they went to bed. She became pregnant. What did he do? He panicked. Oh, everybody loved me and respected me. Now she's pregnant. What am I going to do? The shaitan said, don't worry. Just kill her and bury her. So he killed her and he buried her with the baby inside her. Then the three brothers came back and said, you know, we left our sister with you. So we come to find out how she fared. The monk said, you know, she became sick in my midst. And I tried all the medicine that I knew, but it never worked, so she died. So I buried her. The three brothers said, well, you tried your best, what can we do? It's Qadr Allah, and they went back home. While they were sleeping, did the shaitan leave them alone? No. The shaitan came to them in their sleep, one by one, and told them in their sleep, in their dream, that the monk got your sister pregnant and killed her and buried her. So the first one woke up and said, I had a strange dream last night. The second one woke up, I had a strange dream last night. The third one woke up, I had a strange dream last night. And all three of them told their dreams. And they said, this is the same dream I had. And they went, the shaitan even told them where she was buried. They went and dug up the grave and they found their sister with the baby inside her. They went to the monk, they captured him, they pulled him out in front of all the people in the square, and they tied him up, and they told the people what he did to their sister. Did the shaitan leave him alone? No. The shaitan came to the monk and said, no one got you in this mess except me. Therefore, no one can get you out of this mess except me. So all you need to do is to obey me. All I want you to do is to make sajda to me. Just one sajda. Only one sajda. And when the monk made sajda to the shaitan washed his hands and said, I've used you. I got what I want from you, so I'm now finished with you. He washed his hands off him, and he abandoned him, and the people killed the monk. They never spared him. Now look how the monk used sequential persuasion. Little by little, step by step, he lead the monk on. First he fed the girl, then he gave her a dart from behind the door, then he took away the door, then they went to bed, she got pregnant, then he killed her, buried her, and the other crime, he lied that she was sick, naturally sick. Then the other crime, shirk, he worshipped the shaitan, he bowed to the shaitan. So another web of the shaitan, sequential persuasion. He loves to use you. And when he gets what he wants out of you, he dumps you. Is that clear? So let's take a look at the USA. The USA, what did the USA do? The USA wanted to be the only superpower in the world. So the USA, she used the Mujahideen of Afghanistan. When the Mujahideen were fighting Russia, what did they call the Mujahideen? Huh? Very good. Say it louder. Freedom fighters. Freedom fighters. Ronald Reagan said, freedom fighters. Freedom fighters. And Ronald Reagan even gave them weapons and money to destroy Russia. And as soon as Russia was finished, the shaitan said, I've used the Mujahideen, I'm finished with them now. What did America call the Mujahideen after Russia was broken up? Terrorists. So you know what's going on. Eh? You know what's going on. Your Maulana knows best. Eh? He answers the question. You know what's going on. So I don't need to tell you this lecture tonight then. Yes, when they were fighting Russia, freedom fighters. But as soon as Russia was destroyed, terrorists, fanatic, fundamentalists. So this is what the shaitan does. He uses you, and when he gets what he wants out of you, he dumps you. The shaitan invites to everything, all types of perversion, sexual perversion. He invites to all type of sexual perversions. Allah said in Surah Nur, Surah 24, verse 21, إِنَّهُ يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. The shaitan invites to all type of perversion and indecency, munkar. So any society in which the henchmen of the shaitan are in control, such a society is filled with fornication, adultery, lesbianism, homosexuality, pornography. And even on the internet, the shaitan has bombarded the internet with his filth, naked pictures. So you may have an email address. And when you switch on your computer to check your email to see if anybody sent you any email, when you check your email, what comes up in front of you? Naked picture. A Muslim sister in the UK, she's English revert. She complained to me about it, because her email is aisha@hotmail.com. So when they see the name Aisha, this sister is about 30 years old, a white revert. Aisha, oh, Muslim, they bombard her email with naked pictures because they know she's a Muslim and they are desperate to corrupt Muslims. I just told her to change her email address so that they don't know it's a Muslim email. The henchmen of the shaitan has set up their own legal system, their own criminal justice system which is falsehood. So listen to the system of the shaitan. In England, a month before I came here, a white girl, she was 8 years old. Her name was Sarah Payne. Blue eyes, blonde hair. She was playing outside her yard, just outside her house. This girl was abducted, raped, strangled to death, and dumped in the bushes. Her body was so rot, they only discovered who she was from the teeth, dental records. And her shoes was nearby the body, so the mother identified her shoes. This is what happened. It happens every day in the UK and America. I think you know that. Now listen to the criminal justice system of the Kafirs. The same judge, listen carefully, the same judge who throws a man in prison for abducting, raping, and killing an 8-year-old girl, it was that same judge who issues a permit to another man to open a shop to sell dirty videos and dirty magazines to corrupt the men of the society. You see the contradiction? The same judge who throws a man in prison because he was drinking and driving, and he killed pedestrians because he was drunk, drinking and driving. The same judge who throws this driver in prison for drinking and driving, it was that same judge who issues a permit to another man to open a shop selling alcoholic beverages, a pub, a disco, to sell alcohol to that driver who got drunk and killed other people. Do you see the contradiction? Only in the Islamic State there is absolutely no contradiction. So when the Qadi pronounce 80 lashes over your back for drinking, 80 lashes for drinking, that Muslim judge would never give another man a permission to open a shop to sell alcohol. This is the Sharia. But when there is no Sharia in a society, the society is filled with contradictions, filled with corruption, filled with far-fetchedness, because falsehood by nature contradicts. The shaitan loves to look at nakedness of others. Before you go into the toilet, you say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubuth wal-khaba'ith. If you don't say that, the shaitan looks at your private parts. He loves to look at the nakedness of others. So Allah Ta'ala said, concerning the shaitan, in Surah 7, verse 27, Ya bani Adam, لا يفتننكم الشيطان كما أخرج أبويكم من الجنة ينزع عنهما لباسهما ليريهما سوءاتهما إنه يراكم هو وقبيله من حيث لا ترونهم. O children of Adam, do not get carried away by the temptations of the shaitan, the way he caused your parents Adam and Eve to slip. He caused them to slip, to disobey Allah, so that their nakedness will be exposed to him. Because Adam and Eve, they had heavenly clothing made from light. So when they ate from the haram tree, the clothing was taken back. So they became naked. And the shaitan enjoyed looking at their nakedness. Adam had to quickly pick the leaves of heaven to cover himself and his wife, because their clothing were taken back. They became naked. So Allah said in Surah 7, verse 27, He, the shaitan, tempted them in order to expose their nakedness. So any society in which the henchman of the shaitan is in control, pornography will become rife. So there is pornography on the TV, pornography in the newspapers, pornography on the billboards, pornography on the internet. So in the UK, you have crossroads where four roads hit together, and they put big billboards, naked women, on these billboards in England. So a driver may be driving, and he's looking, thinking he's getting entertainment for free, and bam, he smashed into somebody else's car, and loses no claims insurance bonus. So any society, you ride the tube, the train, the underground train in England with your innocent Muslim girl, age 8, 9, pictures, naked pictures, all over the tube, all over. This is the UK. A very evil and corrupted society. And because of that, the Islamic State is inevitable. The Islamic State is a must, because there are two types of Muslims in the world. The first Muslim, you invite him to Jannah and he accepts your invitation. You see him drinking, gambling, womanizing, going to discos, and you say to him, fear Allah, why don't you practice your deen? What if the shaitan continues to tempt you with these things, and the angel of death takes your soul when you are living in this state? What will you say to Allah on Judgment Day? If you say that to a Muslim, he'll say, Alhamdulillah, Jazakallah, thank you for advising me, and he gives up all these haram. This Muslim, you invite him to paradise and he accepts your invitation. Then there's another type of Muslim, you have to drag him to paradise. And how do you drag him to paradise? By establishing the Islamic State. So even though he would like to drink, there's no pub. No discos, no rum bar. He would like to bet on horses, gamble, there's no betting shops. He would like to go to the brothel, there's no brothel. None of these things. On judgment day, this Muslim will say, oh Allah, I had the desire to do these things, but my Muslim brothers implemented the Sharia, the Islamic State, and I could not do these things. And it is because of that I was saved from these facade, this corruption. And because of that, you are now giving me the Jannah. The man will cry on judgment day out of happiness. His Muslim brothers implemented the Sharia. So he wanted to do haram, but there was no avenue for him. The man will cry and said, oh Allah, out of happiness, I am now in Jannah because my Muslim brothers implemented the Sharia. So there was no avenue for me to do haram. This Muslim, what did he do? You drag him to paradise. Most Muslims, you need to drag them to paradise. The majority, you have to drag them to paradise. The majority are weak. Another web of the shaitan. He likes to remind you about your past so that you may go back to it. Another web of the shaitan, he infiltrates you. He likes to divide and rule. The human shaitan, South Africa, how did he rule South Africa? Divide and rule. This is the white area, the colored area, the Asian area, the black area. And he turned one race against the other, having one race, hating the other race. That's called divide and rule. This is a web of the shaitan. He loves to divide and rule. So anytime he colonizes your land, he makes sure he leaves a problem for you to fight with your neighbor until eternity. What does he do? He makes sure he leaves a problem for you to fight with your neighbor until eternity. So, when the British colonized India, they left behind the Kashmir problem for Muslims and Hindus to be caught up in a war which will never end. This is a legacy of the British Empire, the Kashmir problem. When the British were in Palestine, they left behind the Palestinian problem for the Muslims and the Jews to fight each other until eternity. The Palestinian problem is a British legacy. When the British were in the Sudan, they sowed the seeds of discord between the northern and the southerners. So the problem of Sudan between Jan Garang and Bashir is a legacy of the British Empire. When the British were in charge of Cyprus and they were supposed to give it back to Turkey because it's Turkish land, they gave it to Greece instead. So Turkey and Greece will forever be at loggerheads over Cyprus. So the problem of Cyprus is a British legacy. And what about South Africa? I never left South Africa out. I'll tell you what's a British legacy. They were the ones who orchestrated and set up the apartheid system. The Dutch, they only implemented it. The British, they put it on paper. The British, they put it on the blueprint, the apartheid system. So they sow the seeds of discord between the races. Now the Kafirs are saying, the Muslims of South Africa are the strongest Muslims in the southern hemisphere. You are the strongest Muslims in the southern hemisphere. You're stronger than those in Zimbabwe or Mozambique or Malawi and so on and so forth. You have more scholars, more Darul Uloom, more Hafiz and so on and so forth. You are the strongest Muslims of the southern hemisphere. I even knew this before I came here. I did my homework. Now, they are of the opinion, the Kafirs say, that the Muslim businessmen, they are keeping the Muslim community together. They finance many projects. I've been to black townships with masjids inside the black townships. Who built these masjids? The Muslim businessmen. So what the Kafirs are doing, they are training black men in Israel to come back and hijack, kill, rob Muslim businessmen in the name of crime. Is that clear?
Exactly.
Many blacks are being trained, black kafirs are being trained in Israel to come back and terrorize and target rich Muslim businessmen so that they will not be able to finance projects, Islamic projects in South Africa anymore. And why do they do that? In the name of crime, so that the projects will falter and it will not progress. But Allah Ta'ala said, they plot and plan. And Allah also plot and plan. But the best of plotters is Allah. Wallahu khairul makirin. Allah is the best of plotters. My suggestion to you is that you should fight back. You should have your hit squad to hit the kafirs where it hurts. You should have your own Muslim hit squads and fight back. This is the only way out. No negotiations, no peaceful coexistence, no dialogues. Do you accept my suggestion or is it too radical? The shaitan is a paper tiger. If he knows that you will hit back, he will think twice about it. Two things and not a web. He likes to magnify deviant groups as real Islam, like the Qadianis and the Shia. That is real Islam. The British, they started the Qadiani movement and they even gave them their own cable network, Sky TV. When I was in Soweto 2 weeks ago and I visited a black township, they said the Qadianis are trying to move in. The Qadianis are trying to move in. I met their Asian Molanas teaching the black people proper Islam, Sunni Islam. And what the Kafirs are trying to do? They're trying to make the Qadiani moving into these black townships. This is a web of the shaitan. He set up deviant groups, groups that are not Muslim groups, and said, this is Islam. So when a black person comes into Islam, thinking it's Islam, it's not Islam. I've met many white women in England who confessed to me, only 2 years ago, I was a Qadiani, and I thought it was the real Islam, until I found Islam. So this is a web of the shaitan. They spread deviant groups in your midst so that the reverts will come into the wrong version of Islam. Two things and another web. Two things that are supposed to come together, he separates them. For example, Quran and Sunnah. Can you separate Quran from Sunnah?
No.
Impossible. If you do that, Allah said in Surah Nisa 150, if you separate me, Allah, from my messenger, Muhammad, you're a real kafir. There are many things, had it not been for Sunnah, you will not know. Allah Ta'ala tells you to pray five times a day. Allah never tell you where to put your hand. The Prophet told you where to put your hand. It's not so, on your chest. If you did not see the hadith, you may pray putting your hand like this. You would know where to put your hand in Salah. Also, Allah tell you to pray five times a day. But Allah did not tell you when you go down in ruku like this, you say, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. In Sajda, Subhan Rabbi al-A'la. Who told you these things? The Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet. When you fight Jews and Christians, you take jizya. Allah never tell you what to do with the fire worshippers. So when Omar conquered Iran, he didn't know what to do with the fire worshippers until the Sahabas, Abdurrahman bin Auf, said, I heard the Prophet saying, treat them like Ahlul Kitab. Take jizya from them. Had it not been for hadith, Omar would be in limbo. He would know what to do. When you fast in Ramadan, you pay Sadaqatul Fitr. In England, it is 40 rand. I don't know how much is it, 8 rand here. 40 rand in England. And every year it goes up. Sadaqatul Fitr. You have to pay Sadaqatul Fitr before the Imam goes on the mimbar. Else your fast is hanging between the skies and earth. It doesn't go up to Allah. How did you know that you should pay it? The Prophet told you. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I can sit in front of you and mention hundreds of things that are not in the Quran, and you have to do it. It's fard. And where did we find it? From the hadith. So two things that cannot be separated, the shaitan loves to separate it, like Quran and Sunnah. He likes to separate these things. And there's a group called the Parvezi. They separate Quran from Sunnah. Are you tired? There's tomorrow's holiday. You don't mind me carrying on? Another web of the shaitan. Two things that cannot be joined together, he joins it together. Is that clear? Two things that cannot be joined together, he joins it together. For example, can you join Islam and democracy together?
No.
Democracy is the greatest shirk. Democracy means the government of the people, for the people, by the people. In a parliament, your Lord, Allah, has no say. The MPs have the say. Allah has no say in the parliament. In a parliament, Allah is insignificant, unimportant, totally irrelevant. When Margaret Thatcher was a prime minister, she made homosexuality allowed at age 21. And when John Major became prime minister, he dropped it down to 18. And when Tony Blair became prime minister, he dropped it down to 16. And if another prime minister takes over from Tony Blair, it will be 14. Because as Robert Mugabe said, most of the MPs in England are homosexuals. So they'll forever drop the age down, 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 down. The age will always be coming down. And who passed these laws? The MPs. So in the parliament, Allah, your Lord, Allah has no say, because a democracy means the people have the say. People's power. It is called people's power. So democracy is the greatest shirk, because Allah is the only lawgiver, the only legislator. And because of that, Allah said in Surah Wat-Tin wa Zaytun, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. Isn't Allah the best legislator? Isn't Allah the best lawgiver? Isn't Allah the best of judges? Another web of the shaitan, he practices emotional blackmail. I've been to many universities throughout the UK, from London to Glasgow, all the way in Scotland. And I speak the way I'm speaking here. Many Hindus and Christian girls and boys come up to me and said, I know Islam is the truth. I know there's only one God. But if I become a Muslim, my father will disinherit me. I will be kicked out of the house. They will say to me, you're not my daughter anymore. This is called emotional blackmail. And this is a web of the shaitan which he uses effectively. Another web, he makes you use your natural instinct. He makes you use your natural instinct to leave off the farad things. So for example, it is your natural instinct to love wealth. He will use that to make you stop giving away in zakah. It is your natural instinct to love children. He will use that to make you abandon jihad. Make you abandon jihad, and so on and so forth. The Muslims in Algeria, they abandoned jihad first, and they used democracy. They voted. They said, let us beat the Kafirs with their own game. We'll vote them out of office. We'll use democracy to get rid of democracy. So the Muslims in Algeria, they voted and they won the election. But France intervened and said, don't give them the power. The enemies of democracy cannot benefit from democracy. And they brought in the tanks and started to kill the Muslims in Algeria. The Muslims in Turkey, Erbakan, he gathered millions of dollars, and Arab countries helped him as well. And he won the election, Erbakan, the Muslim leader. And when he reached the top, what happened? The army sacked him. They allowed him to rule for 6 to 8 months, then the army sacked him. Abiola in Nigeria, he won the election, and the army put him in the prison and poisoned him and said he died from heart attack. For 3 times, the Muslims got bitten with democracy. In Algeria, then Turkey, then Nigeria. But the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, لا يلدغ المؤمن في جحر مرتين. No believer is bitten in the same hole twice. No believer is bitten in the same hole twice. So how can you get bitten in Algeria with democracy, then a second time in Turkey, then a third time in Nigeria? No believer is bitten in the same hole twice. The Muslims got bitten 3 times. So the way forward is the bullet and not the bullet. Does that make sense to you? Kafirs will never keep their side of the bargain. Kafirs will never keep their side of the bargain. Another web of the shaitan, He likes to make you get involved in arguments. You argue and dispute. But Aisha radiallahu anha said, I heard the Prophet saying, the worst person in the sight of Allah is a person who likes to argue. In another hadith, the Prophet said, if you give up argument, even though you are right, Allah will build for you a palace in the paradise. Another web of the shaitan, he threatens you with poverty. The shaitan, he threatens you with poverty, and then he commands you to do the most shameful deeds. So Allah said in Surah Baqarah 268, Ash-shaytan ya'idukum al-faqra wa ya'murukum bil-fahsha. The shaitan threatens you with poverty, and then he commands you to do the most shameful deeds. What deed is that? To leave off your deen. I close by saying, the shaitan, he likes to make things that are big, small, and what is small, big. Something which is important, he makes it unimportant. What is unimportant, he makes it important. Islam, is it important or not? And your skin color, important or not? Unimportant. Will Allah give you Jannah on the base of your skin color on Judgment Day? Inna Allah la yandur ila suwarikum. وَلَكِنْ يَنْدُرْ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah doesn't look at your physical features, the Prophet said, but He looks at your heart. Islam is important. Your skin color is not important. The kafir, the shaitan, is Islam important for him? No, it's not important. Is skin color important for him? Yes, he separates you based on your skin color, and he gives you opportunities for job opportunities, and give you education opportunities, business opportunities, based on your skin color. So on Judgment Day, Allah won't give you Jannah. Allah won't say, where are the black or the brown or the white? Bring them so that I can give them Jannah al-Firdaus. Allah won't say that. Because the Prophet said, Inna Allah la yanzur ila ajsamikum, la ila suwarikum, wa amwalikum, walakin yanzur ila qulubikum. Allah doesn't pay attention to your physical appearance, nor does He pay attention to your money, your amwal, but instead He pays attention to your heart. Skin color, not important. Islam, very important. But the shaitan, for him, Islam is not important. Skin color is important. So a web of the shaitan is something which is important, he makes it unimportant. And what is unimportant, he makes it important. I close by saying, in Surah 14, Surah Ibrahim verse 22, Allah tells us what will happen on Judgment Day. The shaitan will say, Inna Allah wa'adakum wa'ad al-haq. Indeed, Allah promised you a true promise. Wa wa'adtukum fa'akhtalaftukum. I, the shaitan, I made you a promise, but my promise was fake. It was false. Wa ma kana li alaykum min sultan illa an da'utukum. And I, the shaitan, I never have any power over you when we were in the dunya, except that I tempted you and you accepted my invitation, my temptation. Fastajibtum li. فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. So today, don't blame me, blame yourselves. The shaitan will say, don't blame me, blame yourselves. مَا أَنَا بِمُسْلِخِكُمْ وَمَا أَنْتُمْ بِمُسْلِخِيَّةِ. Today, on Judgment Day, I the shaitan cannot help you, and you cannot help me. The shaitan will disown you on Judgment Day. Then he will say, إِنِّي كَفَرْتُ بِمَا أَشْرَكْتُمُونِي مِنْ قَبْلُ. The shaitan said what? When you used to obey me instead of obeying Allah, I rejected faith in the stupidity which you were doing. Inni kafartu. When you used to worship me, the shaitan, instead of Allah. When you used to obey me instead of Allah. Inni kafartu bi ashraku min qabl. I, the shaitan, I rejected faith in the kufr which you were practicing. This is what the shaitan will say on Judgment Day. What's the evidence? Surah Ibrahim, verse 22. Brothers in Islam, this is our topic, Satan's web. I will now pause and take questions. If there are no questions, we close with a dua. You know, in South Africa, the AIDS virus is becoming an epidemic, and I would not like to see any of my Muslim brothers die in that disgrace on the hospital bed, rotting away with AIDS. So my advice to you is to fear Allah. The Shaitan likes to say, with his waswasa, you should experiment with many women because it's exciting. But it's not exciting to die at a young age, 25, 30, in disgrace, on your hospital bed, and you drag your family name in the dust, you disgrace your family, disgrace the Muslim community, to die in that horrible and pathetic state. Fear Allah, get married, and be faithful to your partner. There are many Muslim women who die from AIDS, and these Muslim women, they wear hijab and they pray 5 times, and they only have one husband. Why? Their husbands were cheating on them. Many Muslim women. It happened even in the United States. Pious women who pray 5 times, they even pray Fajr every morning, wear the hijab. And these women die from AIDS. A Muslim woman in her hijab then from AIDS in hospital. Why? Because her husband used to cheat on her. Her husband used to have affairs with kafir women. Having affairs with kafir women. So do not allow the epidemic to reach the Muslim community. The kafirs, let the kafirs die from AIDS so that you can inherit the land. But you don't do haram and die from AIDS like them. Let them die so that you can inherit the land. Allah knows best why he's taking their life. That kafir who dies from AIDS at age 25, 30, if AIDS didn't kill him, he would put a gun at your head and take your money and your car. So let them die from AIDS so that you can inherit the land. But you yourself don't live a dirty life and die like the kafirs are dying. Fear Allah Ta'ala. Ittaqillah. The best advice a Muslim can give to his Muslim brothers is ittaqillah. Fear Allah. And because of that, Omar used to go on the minbar in Medina to give a khutbah. And what did he say? Ittaqillah. And the khutbah was finished. Those 2 words. Fear Allah. And his khutbah was finished. So the word ittaqillah, it carries great meaning. It means you should stay away from all the haram things. Stay away from all haram things. I'm going to say something which is very hurtful. You know, some people they smoke cigarettes, and even that is not very good, because, you know, in England, you know how much for a pack of cigarettes? 40 rand. And many Muslims, they smoke 40 a day. 40 cigarettes. 40 rand. You know, that money, if you send it to Bangladesh, you could feed many orphans. Why give it to the cigarette companies? That's wasting your wealth. Allah said, "Innal al-mubadhirin kanu ikhwan ash-shayateen." The wasters are the brothers of the shaitan. So even that is not very good for you to do. And many people, they say, "Oh, Sheikh Faisal, you listen to that guy. He's too strict. How can you go and sit and listen to him? He doesn't want us to smoke. He doesn't want us to listen to music. He doesn't want us to listen to watch Indian films. He doesn't want us to do nothing. He makes our life boring. You listen to that guy? That guy is too strict. How can you go and listen to him? He's too strict." But, you know, as I said to you, do as I say and do as I do. I myself, I don't smoke. I try to practice what I preach to the best of my ability. And I don't drink, I don't gamble. Do as I say and do as I do. I'm not like the Christian church preacher who said, "Do as I say, but don't do as I do, because I do things secretly on the side." I'm not an angel, but I try to practice to the best of my ability everything I preach. Amen. Because the Muslims, they need a role model. And the only thing left for me to do is to go for jihad and kill the kafirs. That's the only thing left. Inshallah. Any questions? When I was studying in Saudi Arabia, I used to go to Jamaica every single year over a period of 8 years. It is growing. Most of the people there, they used to be Christians and they became Muslims. Like myself, I used to be a Christian. Then I became Muslim at the age of 16. It is growing. It used to be 2 masjids, now we have 8 masjids. And in the UK, Islam is growing as well. Many churches we bought and turned them into mosques. Many churches. The MPs are panicking and they want to pass laws that no church is allowed to be turned into a mosque. They use the flimsy excuse, when the Muslims buy the churches, they took down the cross, and it is changing European architecture. What did you say? I'll think about it, sure. There's a difference between paradise and heaven. Allah said, Ya Adam, uskun anta wa zawjuka al-jannah. O Adam, dwell thou and thy wife in Jannah. That's heaven. And then Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Bayyinah, Jannati Adin. That is paradise. If Allah said Jannati Adin, that's paradise. Gardens of eternity. If you go to paradise, you cannot be thrown out. You'll be there forever and ever. Allah said, Khalidina fiha abada. The Arabic word abada means forever and ever. So if it is Jannah by itself, it is heaven. If it is called Jannat al-Khuld, Jannat al-Na'im, Jannat al-Ma'wa, Jannat al-Firdaus, all these are paradise. Is that clear? If it's Jannah by itself, if Allah said Jannah by itself, that's heaven. Adam was not in paradise, he was in heaven. If you go to paradise, you will not be thrown out. You'll be there forever and ever. Secondly, in paradise, the Prophet said, Allah has prepared for His servants things which no eyes have seen and no ears have heard about it. وَلَا خَطَرْ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ الْبَشَرِ No human being can imagine what's in paradise. Adam was in heaven and he saw things in heaven. But as for paradise, no one has ever seen what Allah Ta'ala has prepared for His righteous servants. Also, the first person to enter paradise is who? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So nobody is in paradise as yet. No one is in paradise as yet. And even the shuhada who die on the battlefield, it's their soul which is in the green birds of paradise. Their souls, not in body. Their souls are in the green birds of paradise, those who die on the battlefield. And these green birds, they have their nest hanging from chandeliers. And these chandeliers are hanging from the throne of Allah. Another difference between paradise and heaven. In paradise, the shaitan has no influence. No influence. But he was able to cause Adam to be thrown out of heaven. So these are the differences given to us by the scholars of Tawheed. Islam is the fastest growing religion in London, in the UK, as well as the USA and the Caribbean. And even here in South Africa, it's the fastest growing religion. I've been to many black townships. All the people who were sitting down in front of me in the masjid, they said, we used to be Christians before. All of them. And this is why the shaitan is trying to terrorize the Asian businessmen, because they said, you are the one spreading Islam in South Africa. They terrorize you, hijack your car, shoot you, take your money, hijack your business in the name of crime. Didn't you know that's the reason why the South African government is very soft on crime? They are a part of it. They're very soft on crime. Yeah. In fact, they are on the side of the criminals. They are on the side of the criminals. I would like if the South African government get this tape tonight. They are on the side. I won't be able to come back. Do you want me to come back? Any other questions?
How can you dissolve the African government? I think people in India were the Islamic government.
You are not in a position at the moment to do jihad because you are in a minority. But if you're approximately 15% and you can find a million man army, then you're ready for jihad. Inshallah. Any other questions? Inshallah, we'll close. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا وأخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقتنا به واعف عنا واغفرنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا من الكافرين سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين